As we consider fathers, we're going to look at fathers much the same way we did about mothers. We're going to look at them as a way of teaching.
Teaching them. Many times we look at what the Bible says and praise the Lord for what it says about mothers and fathers. But if you were to teach a father, what would you teach him to be? Paul writes Timothy and tells him what he is to teach older men and younger men. I will again allow you to decide if you're the old man, your wife probably tells you, in case you're wondering, or if you're still that bright, spry young man. Take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 2. As we consider the fathers of our day, we generally find really two kinds, I think, at least as I observed. You find those dads that are real dads. They're there involved with their children. In fact, they make sure they spend time. They'll even take some time off work to go to the softball game, or they'll help with disciplining the kids, or they'll help the kids learn new skills. Really what we're doing is so that way we don't have to do those chores. But you're training those children so that way they can do well in their life. That's your goal. And those are some great dads. Unfortunately, there's also absentee dads. Some of those absentee dads are those dads that are not at the home. They're physically the father, but they don't play the role that a dad should play. Perhaps it's because of an improper relationship that they have become a dad and then abandon the mother and the child. Sometimes it's because the dad is just too busy. Oh, he's the dad and the husband and all that goes with it, but he's too busy with work, too busy out playing with the guys to be at home training his dad, training his children. It's when we see that our nation, as it seems to me, that you find more and more those absentee dads. And I have to admit, it can be very easy to become an absentee dad. After all, you've got high responsibilities where you work, and you've got to provide an income for your family and see that there's food on the table. And at the same time, when you get home, you've got all the tasks and chores that you want to get done. Sometimes it's nice to be able to go out and just get on your own. Go out and play golf or go to the ball game or whatever, just to relax. And it can be very tempting at times to do those things and neglect the family, but we must be on guard, because as fathers, it is our responsibility to bring up a godly home. And we cannot bring up a godly home if we're neglectful of it. In Titus chapter 2, Paul is telling Titus what he needs to share with those who are the older men and younger men, as well as the older women, and then what the older women are to share with the younger women. He wants them to understand their role in church, their role in their homes, their role in society. It is the goal of a good father to train their children to become the responsible, mature, and godly adults who will become fathers, who will train their children to do likewise. And it is also the goal of spiritual leaders in the church to train other people to become those leaders who will also train disciples likewise. And as you view this passage this way, it will help you grasp hold of these truths and implement these teachings in your life. And we find in Titus 2, it says, "But as for you, speak those things which are proper for sound doctrine." You understand the practical nature of what we do in life has its foundation in the doctrines of Scripture. Who God is who I'm to reflect. If I don't have a good handle on who God is, who Jesus Christ is, who they are, their nature, and the things that they do, I cannot play that out in my life. For if I am to reflect Jesus Christ in my nature, how shall I if I don't know who Jesus is and what he has done? So sound doctrine is a foundation for it. But then he says that you older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. I find it interesting, who does he address first? The older men. Well, I would say the older because in our society as well, as it should be, we are to have a high view of those that are older, a respect towards them. Why the men? Because the men in our day, even as in that day, are the leaders in society. Not just by nature that we have a president that is male, or that probably, not always, probably in your place of employment, the owner or your manager is a gentleman. Our world tends to be more man-focused. Why? God designed it that way. That doesn't mean or women are worthless. Doesn't mean that they are to be barefoot in the kitchen, pregnant all the time. It just means that God, as we clearly see in the scriptures, has given men the responsibility to be leaders. Leaders at home, leaders in society, leaders in the church. And we are to be leaders as we love our wives and as we train our children. So I believe that is why he addresses the men, the older men here first. But at the same time, you go to the younger men in verse 7 and showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works. A pattern is somebody that's the leader. If up at camp, I want the kids to follow my lead, I am the pattern for what I want them to do. We find the first element here of a good father, that a good father leads his family. In leading your family, how shall you do that? Well, the first thing to do is to take the initiative. You're the one that goes out and does it. Sometimes you need a little prompting from your wife, don't you? There's nothing wrong with that. There's great wisdom in a man who listens to his wife, for she is one who comes alongside and helps him. We kind of need all the help we can get some days. We are the ones, though, as men, are to take the initiatives, to take the responsibility. There are things at home that we want to see done. And if we're to be the leader, we need to take the initiative to get them done. I can be a great leader by sitting there on the chair and looking out in the yard and seeing how tall the grass is. By taking the initiative of looking at the children and saying, looks like the grass needs to be mowed. That is taking a leadership position. I am taking the initiative to see that something gets done. Or, on the other hand, I can look out there and I can see all the weeds that are out there in the yard, the pretty flowers. And I can say to myself, hey, that needs to be taken care of. And so I get up off that chair and I go down and I get the weed killer and I go out there and spray the yard. I again have taken the initiative to do it. Now those are minor things, but think about in other aspects of your life, of your family. Your children, you want to raise them in such a way that they are going to honor God. Do you, as a gentleman, take the responsibility of saying to your family, okay, it's getting almost 8 o'clock, it's time to do our devotions as a family. So for us as a family, what we do is we pull out the keys for kids. That's great. I think I'm going to get it even after the kids are gone, because that's a lot of fun. Get the keys for kids out, and you read the Bible passage, and then you read the fun story that goes with it. We are the men that are to train our children. If we are not taking that leadership role, then it's not going to happen. Or maybe it will, and mom will fill that gap. Good for her if she's filling that gap that you're not doing. Hopefully, though, she's supporting you and encouraging you to take that role. As that gap is being done, that training is being done, for some that where dads aren't at home, the ladies then are taking that, the moms taking that responsibility. It's the initiative of doing it. Here at church, we have leaders that are men in leadership position, and ladies as well. Not as a pastor and deacons, for the word is clear that those are reserved for the men, the males. But we've got the ladies that are in charge of the kitchen and taking care of over the house and helping with music. And that's great responsibilities for them under the headship of the pastor, the deacons, and the congregation as a whole. Those roles are important. The initiative must be taken. And church, we see that maybe something needs to be picked up or something needs to be taken care of. Men, we are to be good leaders in taking the initiative of getting those things done. We are to take the initiative in helping the church as a whole to grow as we encourage other people, as we share with them God's word. But what I find so often, you find it on the news, you find it in the media, in the entertainment, you find it when you talk to your neighbor, the men aren't taking the initiative. We need to be those leaders that are taking the initiative to get such things done. Along with that, we are to be the example in verse 7. The young men are to be the pattern to follow. Paul tells Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but be an example. An example is something that you want to follow. An example sometimes is that guy on the television set who makes every three-point shot. Or I guess right now we're in the College World Series. Every time they're up to bat, they get a hit. And often they get the home run. You want to be that example. Yesterday I was trying to be that example to my kids. I really enjoy the precious time I have with my children. I took the boys out. The girls, we left them at home. But the boys, we went out over to the park where it's nice and muddy. And we took the softball, we're throwing the softball back and forth. We didn't have a game yesterday because of the mud. So I say we won because Gretna's the one that forfeit because of the rain. They're the ones that shut down their fields. So we'll count that as a win. We took the softball and we're throwing it back and forth. And I'm telling the kids, hey, catch most of their balls with their glove hand up. Instead of underhand, you try to catch them underhand. If it bounces out, it's going to whack you in the head. I don't know if you noticed Ethan. I think he's more black and blue than he is the rest of his skin color, the poor kid. But I'm trying to teach them. And as part of that, I'm trying to be the example. So when they throw it to me, I try to show off a little bit how good dad is and try to catch the ball. Glad we didn't have a game yesterday. I wasn't always the best example. But you try to be that example. You know what? We can never, ever expect our kids to do the things we will not do. We will not be that example. We can't expect our kids to do it. We are not going to be that example that says, hey, we're going to church and we're going to go and learn about Christ. And so after church, say, hey, this is what I learned. What did you learn? Be that example at home. You want the kids to keep the room neat. Are you? You want the kids to do their chores. How often does she have to say something to you? You are that example. Kids often will catch what you hear, but more than that, they will catch what they see you do. We need to make sure that, men, we are the examples for our homes, and examples here, examples at work, wherever we're at, we are to be the pattern of Jesus Christ. We are to be the pattern of the attributes that are spoken of here in this text. Therefore, let us do so well. Not just leading, taking the initiative to tell people what to do, but be the example of doing those things, even in our service. In the way that we carry these things out, we can be those people, unfortunately, kids especially, have in mind that a leader is a person who can tell somebody else what to do. Why do they believe that? Because we, dads, are really good at doing that. It's our job. Clean your room. Pick up the mess. Go mow the yard. That's important for us to be able to teach them those leadership roles, but we also need to serve. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, He is the one who is rightfully called Master and Lord. When people bow down to Him, He never said, don't do that. The apostles, they said, don't bow before us, we're men. The angels, they say, don't bow before us, we are servants as we are servants of God. Jesus Christ, though rightfully deserving the worship that He was given, the place that He was called Master and Lord. In the New Testament, constantly you see Him called Lord, meaning Master. Rightfully so, and He should be in our lives. What did He do? Remember, they were up there at the Last Supper. And He went and took off His outer garment and put around Him the towel. And He said, as He washed their feet, what the lowliest servant would do. In John chapter 13, He says, you call Me teacher and Lord, and I tell you, you say well, for that is what I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who has sent him. For if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve. He is indeed teacher and Lord, but He gave them the example, even as He humbled Himself and served them. We are to serve our family. We are to serve in the church. We are to serve as a person in our place of employment and in our neighborhood and even in government, not necessarily as a representative or a senator or a president. But we should have such humble hearts that there is no job beneath us. There's nothing in our culture, there's nothing in our home that we would say, I would never do that because that's beneath me. We ought to be willing to be the guy that takes out the trash. Or if need be, go and take other people's trash out. To go clean somebody else's toilet. Why? Because we're a leader that way. We're not the one that's a dictator. The dictator just tells you what to do. The true godly leader not only can instruct you what to do, but shows you how to do it. And humbly will do it themselves. We need that mindset as a leader in the church. Well, not only is a good father one that leads his family, a good father is clear-minded. There are six aspects, six truths that we see of a good father. We're going to look at three of them tonight, this morning, and three tonight. Second one here, a good father is clear-minded. In both of the older men and the younger men, he says to be sober. Verse 2, that the older men be sober. We look down in verse 6. Likewise, I exhort young men to be sober-minded. It's interesting that both those words are different from each other, but they have the same general meaning. As I look in the commentaries, they seem to agree that they're used as synonyms for one another and not having intention of a different, distinct meaning applied with them. In all of it, it talks about being clear-minded, having your head on straight. You know, when we have our head on straight, we're in control of our emotions. There's an old song, I don't know if some of you might remember, it used to be in my case, it was a tape. But now I found that you can even buy it in CD. It goes clear back to 1977. That was long, forever ago, wasn't it? The song from the music machine goes like this. Once I had a knot in my shoe that would not come loose. I tried and tried and pried, but it would not come loose. I got so mad I kicked the door and stunned my little toe. Whoa! If only I had learned a little bit of self-control. Self-control is just controlling yourself, doing what is smart, etc. Self-control. It's easy for us to lose our temper, isn't it, sometimes, men? We cannot be clear-headed if we are in a fit of rage. We make foolish decisions when we're angry. This song here, I was one of my favorite songs out of that whole, I guess it'd be CD now, but out of that whole tape. And I listened to it over and over again. Self-control, just controlling myself. And I remember that song. I think it's had an impact in me. Not always, but generally speaking, can control, even though I may be angry about something or hurt about something, it will keep me from saying something or doing something I will regret that I've done. And looking down the line in 10 minutes or an hour or 3 days from now, I'll look back and I'll say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Not always am I good at it, but by God's grace, I think I show some self-control that way. There's been times I've not and paid for it. And you know that as well. If we are going to be clear-minded in the way that we interact with each other, we've got to make sure that we are, so that way we're not doing foolish things, being controlled by emotions, or even our impulses. We can be controlled by our impulses. And these impulses could be such things as temptations. We can go down to the hardware store and we can see that it is on sale. You'll never get it at that price again. And our impulse could be, hey, this is once in a lifetime opportunity, so I'm going to buy it, even though it's way more than I can afford. But if we're clear-headed, sober-minded, we'll think clearly through those. Of course, along with this is the idea of not being intoxicated, not being controlled by our addictions. Hopefully you don't have one with alcohol or tobacco or illegal drugs. Our minds are confused because we're not clear-headed, we'll make foolish decisions. That is not being a good father. We must make sure, whether it's at home, or it's at the workplace, or it's here at church, we're making good, clear-headed decisions. So that way we're being wise in what we do. Sometimes, as we go through this life, we do so not clear-headed. And we pay consequences, sometimes minor consequences. Someone's mad at us. Sometimes major consequences. We get ourselves in legal trouble. It's wise to be clear-headed. Well, the older men are to be sober and reverent. The younger men, in verse 6, likewise exhort young men to be sober in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing yourself integrity, reverent. A good father is respectable. That word reverent means respectable. That doesn't mean respected in the sense because you're the dad, you are given the authority, therefore everyone should respect you. It's talking about a character quality of being respectable. Being in a respectable character is mature in our behavior. Well-mannered. You see kids sometimes in the way that they are not behaving in a way that you would necessarily respect. The things that they are doing are very immature. Sometimes you see these out of college-age kids. And one of the things is, as we are doing the softballs, I'm seeing some of the other people. And I'm viewing them more as my age, but they're not. They're more actually in their early 20s. And I watch the way that they interact with each other, and I see an element of immaturity there. Not just having fun, but to the point of acting immature. And it's somewhat to be expected. They don't have as much experience under their belts. But there's some people sometimes you come across, and no matter how old they are, you see the way they throw fits over something. You see the way that they're just not a respectable person in the way that they take care of themselves or they treat other people. We are to be, as men, respectable people, our character. We should have enough mature behavior, enough seriousness of life, understanding the seriousness of life, that we are not making ourselves to be clowns. But that doesn't mean that we don't have fun. You get a group of guys together, they know how to have fun. Sometimes doing so without being arrested. We can have a lot of fun. Me and some of my friends get together and we're kind of checked off the clock, if you will, and just having a good old time. We know how to have a lot of fun. Good, clean fun. But that doesn't mean that we are behaving immaturely, to some degree, yes, out of fun. But our characters as a whole remains constant. What is it about you that other people would look at you and say, they're a respectable person? Whether or not you're the kind of person that loves to have fun and do all kinds of crazy things, or you're the kind of person that's real serious about life. Either way, you can still have that respectable character. We need to have that and a good reputation. It's not just amongst ourselves as we see ourselves, but in general, as people outside look at you. You are a leader. You are the one that is to be both inside the church and inside the home and outside of it. Those type of people that other people can look at and praise the Heavenly Father for. Why? Because of your character and your good reputation. People should not look at you as they did one preacher where the strange dog came in and the three sons soon became very fond of it. And as those three kids just grew in love with that dog, all of a sudden there came the missing poster. And the identifying mark on this dog was three white hairs on its tail. And so the kids, not realizing it, but the father had seen that and said, wow, he saw the way his kids were in love with that dog, just couldn't imagine parting with it. And so that preacher, he went, found those separate hairs and clipped them. The owner of that dog had ended up coming by and seeing the dog. And so after looking at the dog over and seeing the dog's reaction, but the father in front of the boys had said, yes, but it doesn't have those three white hairs, so it must not be your dog. That day they gained a dog, But that preacher lost his sons. They had seen the way that their dad had used deceit in order to achieve what he wanted. A poor testimony as a father, a poor testimony as a believer, and a poor testimony as a leader. We must have a good reputation amongst our own family and amongst those that are around us. We can glean from this passage the truths of men of good character, men that are godly, the type of men that us as fathers are to be, and not only to be ourselves, but train our children to be. If we do not implement these things in our lives, if we do not practice these things, guess what's going to happen? Those young ones that we're bringing up will find somebody else who will lead them. And there are many, many people in this world who are more than happy to lead them the wrong way. I want to encourage you men as we close this morning to look at your own heart and at your own life. Ladies, you know these things certainly can apply to you as well. What does your life look like? Do you have a godly character at home? Sometimes the issue is not the way we are out in public, but the way we are at home. Because we let our guards down. Are you still that example to your kids? To your family? Maybe there's things in your life you know you need to change. You need to be a better example for the kids. Maybe you need to take the initiative more. Maybe you need to, in some respects, grow up a little bit. Make sure that you're clear-minded in your decisions. We all can gain from that. Whether it's at home, or it's here at church, or it's at work, maybe just in your neighborhood, wherever it may be. Consider yourself, how shall I reflect the character of Christ that I might be that example for my family and raise up others? Father, I pray that you would help each one of us here as we let you work.